Blog Talk Radio.
Outreach Ministries on Sunday. We are a Christian internet church and a local church assembly in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank our Heavenly Father for sending Jesus Christ to earth so that we could have the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God and live for him and worship him while we are yet in the earth. Amen? Amen. We want to thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers each of us. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for the wall of fire with his glory in the midst that surrounds us. We want to thank the Lord for his warring angels that surround us and protect us. We want to thank you, Lord, for your glory being in the midst, because you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst, Lord. We want to thank you that you're actually here. The angels are here. We want to thank you for the praising angels that joined us in praise and worship, Lord. We want to thank you. It's a privilege to serve you, Lord, while we breathe here. Once we leave, that's it. We can do no more here. But while we are here, Lord, we can live for you. We can grow in faith so that others can see Jesus Christ living in us. That needs to be seen in this dark world. It's very dark outside, Lord. It's very, very dark, and it's getting darker by the minute. And people need to be able to look at us, to look at our lives, to see our example, and to see you. And we are here to submit ourselves as living sacrifices unto you. We are here to walk in faith, believing in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation, leading men and women to Jesus and back to Jesus after they've fallen away. We don't throw away our soldiers, Lord. We pray for them to be restored. When they get off the track, Lord, we pray for you to be able to bring them back. So all of those that we have prayed for in the past, Lord, and they've lost their way, we thank you for going after them. We thank you that the Holy Spirit will not let go. We thank you, Lord, for bringing them back into the fold in Jesus' name. We bind the lies of the devil that they have believed and followed in the name of Jesus. For those that we have prayed for to be saved, Father, and they are yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we lift them up to you now, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bring them out of the fields of sin. Bring them in, Lord. Bring them in from the fields of sin, Lord. It's dangerous out there, Lord. We ask you to cover them. We forbid Satan to steal their lives before they have a chance to receive Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you give the heathen as an inheritance to your people. So we thank you, Lord, no matter what the condition, the Bible says to the uttermost, Jesus saves. So we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you that your truth is the truth that sets us free. We want to be free, Lord. We want to be completely free. We don't want to be bound in any way. We want to walk in freedom and liberty with you, Lord. We want to show you that we trust you, Lord. We obey you. We humble ourselves before you. We put nothing and no one before you. You are first in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. You are first and foremost. And you have free reign in our lives. We submit our lives to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the move of God. Hallelujah. We thank you for the move of God, because there's a revival going on in the streets. We thank you, Lord, that you will use even us to speak to people, to encourage people, to tell them there's a real Jesus. There's a real Jesus, the one that really did die on the cross for everyone's sins. There's a real Jesus. A real Jesus who died for them and who loves them and who wants to change their lives for the better. Amen. Once and for all. We thank you, Father. Amen. And for those of you who are visiting us or you are new, we meet on the internet every Wednesday and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States and whatever time that is around the world where you are. Just as we meet every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time and whatever time it is whenever you get to listen to us. We want to thank the Lord. You know, today we are concluding this particular fast at 5 p.m. And the Lord is already moving. He's already moving, and he's strengthening the saints. He's already breaking bondages. Chains are already falling off of us. Sin is dissipating and going away. It's moving as far away from us as east is from west. But, saints, you've got to believe it. Amen? You've got to believe the Lord. You've got to believe him. You can't half do this. He didn't halfway die, and so we can't halfway believe. Amen? He gave it all, so do we have to. We have to give it all. We have to be sold out. It can't be us and no us and just our little lives. It's got to be about Jesus and his kingdom. Amen? It's got to be about the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. He already knows what we have need of. Amen? And he is our provider. He is our provider. So the things that we think we need can't be first. He must be first. Jesus must take the preeminence. Amen? Amen. So if you have your elements ready, we're going to go into Holy Communion. But first, we're going to acknowledge our sin and our transgression. We're going to repent of what's still in our hearts that's not right with Jesus. Amen? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for the blessing of repentance and forgiveness. We want to thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to come before you and to confess our sins before you, our shortcomings, our omissions, our transgressions, our iniquity, our generational sins. We can come before you, Lord, and ask to be forgiven and cleansed. And you promise that when we do this, that you will cleanse us from all sin and you will establish us in your righteousness. Lord, we come not only to confess them, but we turn from our sins in Jesus' name. This is our turning point, Lord. This is the place that we walk away from those attitudes in our hearts that are an offense to you, those attitudes that are unrighteousness, and all unrighteousness is sin. Lord, help us to tell the truth when we come before you. Let us not gloss over, because we didn't do it in a gloss. We did it sin for sin. So, Lord, let us be truthful when we come before you. Let us bear our souls and our hearts before you, Lord. We ask you to judge our hearts, Lord. Judge our lives. Let your lovely light show on our lives. And wherever you find sin, Lord, it's time for us to get busy so that it can leave in Jesus' name. We want to be delivered. We don't want to be bound by demons in Jesus' name. So we humble ourselves before you, Lord. And we ask for your forgiveness. We ask, Lord, that you help us in our weak places, because that's when we're strong in you, when we depend on you and not on ourselves. We give you praise, glory, and honor. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Partake of the bread. Yes, Lord, you are the bread of life. Amen. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. Thank you, Lord. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show and proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you for the healing virtue that's released whenever we partake of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. When we obey your word, you release blessings to us, Father. You said, as often as we did this, to do it in remembrance of you. We remember you, Lord. We remember that by your stripes we have been healed. And we apply those stripes to our bodies, Lord, to our minds, to our spirit, to our soul. And we believe you for that healing that you provide, a healing beyond medicine, a healing beyond what is known here on earth. We thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and only you know how we were really put together. So we thank you, Father, for healing us, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Father, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace. Amen. The Bible says that, amen. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Let's see if that's here. Okay. Amen. You know, technology is funny. It does what it wants to do. So we'll do this differently. Amen. In Psalm 86. Let's go there together. Amen. Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. We want to thank you, Lord. John 15, 12. Amen. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, the Bible says. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to love the brethren, even to those who cause us harm and aggravation, those who make our lives to be unpleasant, and bring with them their own brand of difficulty. We ask for your heart to come to us for the Father. We ask for your heart to come, for the Father has given us his love. It's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, give us your wisdom in relationship with difficult persons. Yes, we realize that they are moved by demons, but we realize that neither are they right in their heart. We forgive them for the trespass. Open our eyes, Father, so that we can see from your eyes. Give to us of your Spirit, that they might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We ask for grace that abounds to ease the tensions as we walk in forbearance, patience, humility, and long-suffering. We thank you for the provisions that we need to obey you in thanksgiving. We are confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Your love in us, Father, bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Your love in us never fails. Strengthen us, Father, that we may walk as your children, for you make the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and you send rain on the just and on the unjust. We thank you, Father, and from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over the spirit of fear, the spirit of fear that's been released all over the world to attack the faith of the saints, to attack the body of Christ, to attack those who do trust that God is Jesus Christ. We take authority, dominion, and power over this fear, this spirit of fear, this demon of fear, this principality of fear that's been ruling over the world. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the devils that went with it and called themselves COVID in Jesus' name. We bind every work of the enemy against humanity. God sent people into the world to do his will and to come subject to his son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for saving many lives. It's never been reported how many lives you saved. We thank you, Father, for those who did not actually die of COVID. Somebody falsely accused them of that. We want to thank you, Father, for those who came right on out of it and didn't receive that in Jesus' name. We want to thank you for those who did not compromise their faith, for those who stood in integrity, for those who chose to walk in truth. We want to thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to release your spirit around the world to cause men and women to stand up and say, you will not intimidate me, Satan. You will not harass me, devil. You will not force me to do that I don't believe is right. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. We bind every spirit of depression. We bind every spirit that causes insomnia and self-pity and heaviness and depression and rejection and despair and hopelessness. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no right attacking the people of God. We want to thank you, Father, for the armor of God which we wear. We take the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have put a hedge around us. We're covered by the blood. We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. And no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. We thank you, Lord, that you have dressed us completely. You are our shepherd, and we shall not want. You supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we cast our cares upon you, Lord, because you care for us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man, all of his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, and underlings, all his timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, and orders. We cancel every demonic assignment and satanic agenda against the righteous in Jesus' name. We take the territory from Satan in the name of Jesus. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan and his kingdom in the name of Jesus. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, every cord, silver cord, and every garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong men and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks into the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, watchers, listeners, peeps, whisperers, familiar devils, electronic devils, digital demons, all technology devils, all Leviathan spirits, all electronic magnetic attacks, all smart technology and those particles, all techno-paganism, Ruko, so all mind control by the occult. We take authority, dominion, and power over every spirit that comes through the cell phones, through the computers, and off the cell towers in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the witchcraft, and we return it from where it came from in Jesus' name. We bind the Kundalini spirits, all water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence, smart dust, debilitating sonic frequency attacks, all microwave attacks, all pulse weapons and their attacks, all targeted radio frequencies. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind all sorcery spirits, all seducing spirits, all audio weapons, whoredom spirits, voices of the stranger, and all their attacks, all hypnotic and trance devils, all mystic rituals and their intent. We bind 5G and its components in Jesus' name. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind Buddhist black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, African, American, Canadian, Australian, European, Latin American and Caribbean, black magic and white magic in Jesus' name. We bind all Morgellons attacks and we return every attack to the senders in the name of Jesus. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide, all free-flying devils, all evil spirits which take animal form and shapeshift. We bind every demon responsible for the dominion of sin in our culture, all impulsivity and attention, racing mind and hyperactivity. We bind the prince of the power of the air. We send his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that's been committed. We bind the Lord of the Flies. We bind the Mandela Effect. And we bind every satanic ritual abuse demon, all satanic worship and witchcraft dedications. We bind in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind these devils and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of demonic insects, spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity, supplanting the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the growth, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, and demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, despise, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of the generation of fools and the spirit of the fool and the anger of the fool and the thoughts of the fool in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the carnal mind. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order and New Age movement. We bind the spirits and works of the oppressors, all false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride and his entire kingdom. We bind premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices in Jesus' name. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and the temptation to sin in Jesus' name. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Basilek, Molech, Baphomet and his 72, Python, Neptune, Atlas, Mammon, Apollyon, and Zeus in the name of Jesus Christ. We chain you with eternal chains under darkness in Jesus' name. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, every Masonic ceremony and their intents and all of their artifacts in Jesus' name. We say they have no power and authority over us in the name of Jesus. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, codes, triggers, tumors, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the lay of the sins. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all. We loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, witchcraft, and mind control back on their own heads in Jesus' name according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to believe what the Spirit of God says to the church. We've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for kings, for all who are in authority, and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We give you praise, Lord. We cut ourselves free from all demonic attachments in Jesus' name, all ungodly soul ties, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, pledges, pacts, groups, leagues, and every form of agreement with the demonic realm. We take authority, dominion, and power, and we command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to come out of the people in the name of Jesus Christ. Every connection with the demonic realm, take a deep breath and cough. A deep breath and cough. Take a deep breath and cough in Jesus' name. A deep breath and cough from your gut in the name of Jesus Christ. We sever every connection with the demonic realm in the name of Jesus Christ. Every connection, we cauterize it from ourselves. We loose ourselves from those entities in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose ourselves from those entities in the name of Jesus Christ. We loose ourselves from those entities in the name of Jesus Christ. We command those spirits that were transferred to us from those spirits to come up and out. Come up and out of the people of God now. Come out of God's people. You have no right. Come out of God's people. You can't stay. There's no place for you to be. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We send you into the cage to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Everybody, deep breath and cough right now. Let that stuff out. Cough, cough, cough. Let it out in the name of Jesus. Tell it you want it to go. You're in agreement with the prayer, and you want it out in the name of Jesus. Religious devils, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirits of infirmity, we bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up and out of God's people. Come out of the mind. Come out of the mind. Come out of the mind. All mind control is bound in Jesus' name. All mind control is bound. Come out of the mind. Come out of the mind in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath and cough. Take a deep breath and cough. Take a deep breath and cough in the name of Jesus. Lord, those spirits that have been released all over the world that have attacked even your people, we disconnect ourselves from those spirits in Jesus' name, and we forbid them to have rule and reign in our lives. We cough them out now in Jesus' name. We break the power of every hex, every vex, every curse, all spells, charms, fetishes, mind control, voodoo, magic, jinxes, bewitchment, psychic power, torment, pain, and sickness, incense and candle burnings, everything the witches, warlocks, and wizards do, that the sorcerers and the Satanists and shamans do, we disconnect ourselves from it in the name of Jesus Christ. We have no lot and part in witchcraft and wickedness in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for removing us from evil people in the name of Jesus. We bind up all tribal rituals and sins that have been worked against the body of Christ in Jesus' name. And we return it to the workers of evil in Jesus' name. We thank you. We give you praise. We send it back because you didn't order it, Lord, and we didn't request it in prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. You know, God is good. He always comes to take care of his people. He doesn't leave us stranded. He doesn't allow the devil to just come and run roughshod over us. But, you know, we have to do our part. We have to do our part. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do what he told us to do in the Word, and we're going to expect the results that the Word brings. Amen. We're going to expect that the Word brings, because the Word brings results. The Word always does. His Word does not return to him void. It never has. It always produces what he desires in the thing whereto he sent it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a blessing to be able to obey God. There are some people, the demons control them. They can't do what they want. They've given themselves over to wickedness, and those demons control them. They control their thoughts. They control their actions. They control what they do. But you see, we are people of free choice. We've chosen to serve the Lord. We can walk free of the devil and his ensnaring and his ensnarements because we made a choice. We decided that we didn't want to serve Satan anymore, that we wanted to serve Jesus Christ, and we were going to do whatever it took to serve him. Amen?
Amen.
So we can walk free. You see, the devil can't bind you once you come out of agreement with him. Once you come out of agreement with the devil, you're free. You belong to Jesus. The thing is, we must come out of agreement with the devil in our mind. The enemy has seeded us with stuff that's just not God since we were children, since some of us since before birth. But we've got to go clean the weeds out of the garden. Amen? We got to get the weeds out the garden. We got to see to it they don't grow back. Jesus says, okay, I've given you freedom. See all the tools? Use them. Use them. Amen? Use them. So today, saints, the Lord wants to talk to us about believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Let me ask you this. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
I knew you would say that. All of us would say yes. But in our hearts, we know that in the past, we have walked in unbelief. We have walked in unbelief. We have doubted, we've questioned, and we've failed to believe. Yet, our God is faithful to us. No matter what we did, our God is faithful to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin at verse 1. We're going to talk about the faith that God wants us to have in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a tangible substance. It's tangible. It's not imaginary. It's not make-believe. It's not spooky. It's tangible. Amen? Faith is tangible. It's actual evidence that we can present before the throne of God concerning the things that we're believing for, but we have not seen. You see, things have to move from the spiritual realm, what is called the supernatural realm, beyond the natural, into the natural. It's in the spirit realm before it's in the natural realm. And we use faith, as Jesus has taught us, in him, in his power, in his promises, to transport those things through. But you see, we actually have to be consistent with it. We have to stand up against anything that would assail it. We can't just say, okay, I have some faith and think that's it. No, that's not enough. It never has been enough. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's how everything happened. God spoke. So since he's still speaking to us, and he's still talking to us, and he's still telling us things, we have to receive his word, because that's how these events are going to come into our lives. You see, if we understand that the worlds were framed, they were put together by God's word, the events that we're believing to come to pass, they're framed by the word of God too, are they not? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We're believing for some events. We're believing for some things. But these things come as we stand, walk, and grow and mature in faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So by faith, Abel was able to obey, and Cain did not. Faith will enable you with strength and power to obey God when it's difficult or when you just don't see the point. Amen? So, it says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was that close. He was actually living in faith. Believing God, trusting God, or else it couldn't have happened. And so, you see, we have to be translated at some point, either while we're alive or after our bodies are left here. We have to stay in faith. Amen? So, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So that's how you know he was in faith, because without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, verse 6 says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means you can't on and off do it. You know, you're seeking him now, and then, okay, nothing happened, so you're not seeking him. And then you come to church and get stirred up again, so you're seeking him. And then you go home and look at the situation, so you're not seeking him. It can't be like that. You have to be consistent. Amen? You have to come to the place of consistency. Amen? By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's how we get ours, by faith. That's how we have our right standing, by faith in Jesus Christ. So you see, God warned Noah that things were going to happen that people had never seen before. Nobody had seen rain before. See, it takes faith to believe for something you've never heard of before. No one had ever seen rain before. But God told Noah it was going to rain. It's going to rain. Well, what is rain? Well, it's going to rain, and so I need you to build an ark. Now, if you actually take a look at what artists have sketched out according to the dimensions of what Noah's ark looked like, that thing couldn't have floated. I don't care what you did. But you see, when God wants something to float, it's going to float. If an axe head can float, that thing floated. It was huge. It was not small. You know that little thing that, what's his name, parked in front of the hotel downtown on the riverbank? That's not, I passed by that thing and said, yeah, it's big, but Noah's thing is huge. Seriously, if you look at it, you said that thing can't float anywhere. But when God says it's going to float, it's going to float. So you see, you can't put your faith in natural circumstances and the way they appear, because they're constantly changing anyway. You have to anchor your faith in our God and in his holy word. It's important because life is constantly changing, as we can tell. Even if you never turn on your TV again, you can tell. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive an inheritance, did what? He obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. God said, okay, pack up your stuff and go. So where? Just go. Just move. Pack it up, move it out. He didn't have foggiest notion where he was going. He just started moving. And as he moved, God took him where he wanted him to go. It's like you have your car. You can sit there with the engine running all day, but until you put it in gear and press the gas, that thing isn't going anywhere. So when God says go, it's time to go. It doesn't matter if you don't know where you're going. I leave home some days and have no idea where I'm going. I have to ask, are we turning left or right, Lord? Because he's in charge. I'm just following instructions, you see. But sometimes when that happens, I drive down a certain street, and I see church members at work, and I went, oh, that's where so-and-so is, Lord. Amen? I said, you know, I never would have found him here. I said, see, there he is. You know, you were up this morning praying about, Lord, where is so-and-so? So he says, okay, go down this street, take a left here, take a right here, and slow down. Okay, Lord, I'll slow, and don't run over that man out there waving the flag in the middle of the street. Don't run over him, okay? He's important. I said, okay, Lord. And I'm coming down the street, and as I go, I see somebody that looks familiar to me. And I go, there he is. I said, see, I know how to find them. I know where they are. When they didn't come to church, I can find them. So you see, you can't hide from the pastor no matter where you go. Pastor can find you because the Holy Spirit knows where you are. Amen. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and his heirs. That's what he did. Because they were looking for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, guess what happened to Sarah? By faith. Now, Sarah was quite beyond the age of childbearing. She was completely out of that range. She had to receive faith to receive strength to conceive seed. She had to receive faith to get the program rolling. You get me? She had to receive faith to believe that once she made the effort, the program was going to roll. She had to receive faith and strength just to try at that age. You see, it took more faith than we actually believe when we read these words. But you see, not just to actually conceive the seed, but just to get the program started again. Amen? That takes some faith. And then she was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. He wouldn't lie to me, she would say. He promised me this, and he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do this. And she looked down and went, oh, my God. And then she went, only by you. Only by you. You know, I gave up on this idea a long time ago, God. And you're going to try this one more time. Okay. Well, I'll roll with you. See, you got to have faith just to talk yourself into that effort when you're at that age. At that age, you know, you're like, that was so long ago. That's dead. Well, God said, not yet. So since he breathes life into dead things, yes, he is the resurrection and the life, and he proved it to Sarah. Amen? Amen. So he's not finished. When he says it's not over, it's not over. And you go, you can't be serious, Lord. But he is. Saints, the word of God which we have promised the Father that we will obey, compels us to shun and abstain from even the appearance of evil. Unbelief and doubt is sin. It's an affront to God. You committed a felony. You're supposed to go to jail, not get delivered. God is truly gracious. Amen? God is truly gracious. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, Sarah couldn't say, okay, I think I got it in my head now, and then turn around and quit. She couldn't do that. Once she believed God, she had to go through to completion. Amen?
Amen.
And going, I don't know if this is going to work, Lord, but I'm going to try. See, this is how we live. We live every moment of our lives by the faith of God, every single moment. Not every day, every moment. Every single moment, we live by faith. Not every hour, every moment. Not every half hour, every moment. That's how we live. That's the life of the Christian. We live faith every single moment. And we cannot afford to change that. In faith, there is no questioning of God's power nor his ability. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's no limitation in him. However, we have a tendency to limit God. When we don't walk in faith, when we do the backing up thing, we think we can backstroke on him. That doesn't work, saints. That doesn't work. You'll need a life preserver for that. That won't work. That's not how this works. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, you can't say, okay, I have faith, and I'm at this level, and I'm doing fine. No, that means it's time for you to go to the next level. It's from faith to faith. It's either continually growing, developing, becoming stronger, or else you're backslidden. That's just the way it is. There is no place where you can sit down on your laurels in faith and say, okay, I have faith. No, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is to become like Jesus Christ. And since we all know that none of us have made it, we've got room to grow. Amen? Amen. It's the truth. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Yes. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now we have to identify with the Lord. He's, I am crucified with Christ. You see where your flesh is supposed to be? It's not supposed to be where you've got it now. It's supposed to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Because you're supposed to be dead to trespasses and sin. And you're supposed to remember that. Amen? Amen. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, I'm dead to all my carnality, all my wishy-washy, all my vacillating, all my, I don't know about that, God. We're supposed to be dead to that. We don't owe the flesh anything. We don't owe self anything. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe, not the flesh. So now why are we still paying the flesh off? Why? Why are we even still paying attention to it? Amen?
Amen.
But we're going to overcome, saints. It's a process. It's a process. Don't feel condemned. We all have to grow. Everybody has to grow. There isn't anybody that gets out of growing in this kingdom. So that means we're all changing. Amen. We're dropping off the old and we're walking in the new. Saints, do you frustrate God's grace towards you in hesitancy to believe his promise to you? Do you ever do that? Do you frustrate God's grace towards you in being hesitant to believe his promise to you? We all have done that. Sometimes it sounds so out of the ordinary that it's beyond what we can imagine at the time. But when God says it's already reality. When God says it, it's already reality. It's not a, it's gonna, no, it's already been spoken by the mouth of the Lord. It's already been spoken by the mouth of the Lord. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You might want to highlight that one. So when you're walking through the house, flipping your Bible, arguing back with the Lord, he can flip it to that scripture. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen. There are a lot of people who are Christian who decided to take the jab, but they didn't do it in faith. Guess what? Repentance is available. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Think about that. Because without faith, it is completely impossible to please God. As we have read, it says to our God that regardless to his great display of love for us and his continual supply of our needs and his comfort, protection, and care for us, we still are not fully confident in him. Wouldn't you think that was an insult if you were God? Wouldn't you? Somewhere in our minds and hearts, we don't fully believe that he can do what he says he can do. Somehow, we allow what our eyes can see and what our ears hear to speak more convincingly than the word of God. Faith is the tangible substance of the things that we are hoping for. Our faith is a bona fide evidence of the things that our eyes are yet to see. So why would we rely on our eyes and our ears to report to us those things that only faith can reveal to us? You see, your natural self has serious limitations. And we have to thank Adam and Eve for that. Nonetheless, we forgave them and moved on, did we not? So, now is that reasonable to expect your natural eyes and natural ears to show you what's in God's realm? No. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You can change your focus. It's your choice. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So either you can keep watching the changeableness of the sun going up and coming down, and the rain, and the wind. You can just keep watching all the natural things, or you can finally focus your eyes on Jesus and allow him to show you what you can't see in the natural. Allow him to show you. Okay, Holy Spirit. Let me see. We got to go there. Okay. All right. For a second, we're going to have to go to 2 Kings, chapter 6. Holy Spirit says we need to go there. No, I didn't write it in my notes, but he says we need to go there. Amen. All right. We're in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 12. We're going to start at verse 12. This is Elisha and his servant. They're out in a dangerous place, and God's gonna take them through. Amen. You see, the Syrians were busy being the Syrians, and they were always wanting to come against God's people. Let me see. All right. Amen. So what happened was the king of Syria would say things in private to his ministers, his army. And it seems that every time they went out, somebody already knew what the plan was. And they didn't understand what was going on. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha. See, that God believer over there, Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. I wonder how that happened. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. They surrounded Dothan. Wasn't that fun? They went to sleep one night, and all was well. And the next morning, life had changed. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he didn't sleep over. He rose early and gone forth. Behold, a host compassed the city with both horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do about this? They're come to kill us. You know they come to kill us. They just don't wipe us out. What are we going to do? And the prophet answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, the servant went outside. He looked all around, and all he could see was army, 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 horses, chariots, and those things had people in them. The horses and chariots weren't just sitting there by themselves. It was people in. And they looked mean and ugly. And so he went in and told the prophet, and now the prophet's just sitting there in total peace going, don't be afraid. They're more with us than there be with them. And you know how he looked at the prophet, like, really? Would you like to look outside? And so Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. You know, we were saying that if you're looking for your natural eyes to show you what's in God's realm, you might be left out. You might be out of the loop. But if you focus your eyes on Jesus, he'll show you what you need to know. And so the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he what? He saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God's always there to outnumber the enemy. You're never outnumbered. You just have to know in whom you have believed and know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. You got to know that you know that you know. It can't just be a thought running around in your mind. Well, I heard Pastor say that. No, it's got to go all the way in. It's got to be on the inside. So when whatever situation comes, it comes out of you from the inside. Your standing up comes from within. It doesn't come because you're leaning on the wall after they tell you, well, we looked at the test results and you got this. No, it comes from within. You place the word in your heart so that you don't sin against the Lord. And when the attack comes, the word stands up in you. The standard is risen inside you. And you don't fall apart. But you've got to invest the time to place the word in and to believe it and to receive it. Amen? That's how it works. And you can't stop doing it because challenges are going to keep coming. You're breathing, they're coming. You're trying not to breathe, they're coming anyway. It's not going to stop. Challenges are coming every day. The devil's working on some new challenges. You got past that one, well, here I come. I got some more. He's not finished, and you shouldn't be finished either. You shouldn't be finished sending back to him continually every single attack, every attack. Every attack must go back in Jesus' name. Every single thing you do, I'm sending it back according to the covenant in Jesus' name. So, he had an eye-opening experience, we shall say. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord. He went to praying again and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, would you want a prayer language better than that? You speak to God and say, a whole army, Lord, I just need you to blind them. And God does it. God's no respect of persons. But you see, Elisha walked in faith with God. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. So now he's brought them to the king of Israel where they didn't want to be. And Elisha could say, adios, I can go have some lunch now. So saints, there's supernatural vision when you allow the Lord to give it to you, when you allow him to open your eyes. We don't chase after visions, and we don't do spooky stuff. That's childishness. But the things of God are eternal. These things come from the throne of God. Saints, if there is never a time when you can perceive beyond what is obvious, you should ask the Lord if you are indeed saved. Because when the Lord comes in, everything about you changes. And at some point, by the grace of God, you should be able to perceive something that you don't necessarily know in the natural. Amen? Amen. It should be that way for every saint. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says to us, have faith in God. Can he make it any plainer? Have faith in God. He did not say, have faith in your faith in God. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Think, you have never seen Jesus Christ in the natural. But you have faith in him. You believe him. You trust him. You rely on him. You pray to him. You talk to him. You walk with him. Have faith in God. You see, this makes us different from other people because we just don't live in the natural. We also live in what's called the supernatural realm, the realm that people don't normally see and operate in. Now, you know the folks in the occult and witchcraft, they try to tap into that world illegally, but there's a judgment and a curse for that. The only proper entrance is through the door, Jesus Christ. He's the door. If you go in any other way, you're a thief and a robber, he said. So, let's see. He tells us to have faith in God. And in John 14, verse 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be agitated. Since we believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ also. We are called to believe in God every moment of every day, not just in special circumstances. In fact, if you fail to use your faith in believing God in the least of our situations, you won't have much to work with when larger challenges arise. You see, faith is developed as we practice it, as we practice it, as we do it, as we do it, as we do it. It gets stronger. It gets keener. We work better the more we do it. But if you decide that most of your natural life, you don't really need God to intervene and that you'll handle it yourself, when the large challenge comes, you don't have much to work with. Faith is developed by doing, not by thinking about it, by actually practicing. Amen? It happens as we practice it. So we do it on every little situation, every little thing. There's nothing too small for us to believe God for. David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 34, 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 34, David said unto Saul, he was talking to King Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, because David was keeping his father's sheep. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So you see, David had been practicing his faith. He'd been practicing spiritual warfare. He'd been practicing going to war. He'd been practicing getting victories. He'd been training. He'd been working. He'd been practicing all along. So when it came to this challenge called Goliath, he was ready for battle. You see, you can't just sit back and watch us fast, pray, do spiritual warfare, and all you're going to do is listen. You're not going to take down any scriptures. You're not going to look them up. You're not going to get up every day and put your armor on, shields up, and go to work binding the devil. You're just not, I'm not going to do all that. Well, guess what? The enemy's looking for you because you've become devourable, and he's coming to take you out. And then the next thing we'll know, you'll be calling me on a Wednesday or a Friday. Oh, Pastor Sabrina, I need prayer for, and you'll go on and on and on. And I'm like, hold on, dear. Hold on. You see, you got to do it all the time. You got to do it every day. You can't neglect a moment. He's waiting to get the drop on you. He's waiting for you to slack off. He's waiting for you to cool down. You got to do what you got to do because you got to do it. Amen?
Amen?
You got to do what you got to do. You're in training. You're in training for reigning, and you're in training for warfare, for more warfare, because there are more battles. There are bigger battles. There are greater battles, and you got to be ready. So David used his faith, confidence, and trust in our God to slay first the lion and then the bear. As a result of believing the Lord, operating in faith, David had full confidence in our God to deliver him out of the hand of the Philistines. Saints, it is very dangerous to think that the only time you need faith is for the big thing. Some of you still find difficulty in areas of faith because prosperity has made life too easy for you. So much so that you have become presumptuous instead of growing in faith toward our God. Something happens, oh, the Lord will take care of it. You ain't prayed yet, but oh, he'll take care of it. You're becoming presumptuous instead of actually working through faith. You see, you have health care, health insurance, government subsidies, and on and on and on and on and on, you know. The list just doesn't end. So that you are not forced to exercise faith, whereas Christians in other parts of the world have less to work with. And as a result, they have stronger faith than many others. Why? Because they have no other choice. They've got to do it. They have no other choice. Everybody in their family line is a witch, warlock, sorcerer, shaman, or something. And they popped up, I'm going to be a Christian. Come on. You know what that's like. Some of you really do know what that's like. You see, they have to believe for every single thing. And you just say, I'm going to the grocery store. In James chapter 2, verse 5, James chapter 2, verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? You see, when you got it all, you don't need to use faith for anything. You're sitting there on it. But when you need something, you have to find your faith. You got to dust it off and say, oh, that's where I put you. Pull it on out. Say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Amen. You know I'm right. Yeah, you know I'm right. You can just say, ouch, Pastor loves you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, Paul said. I had this issue, and I kept going back to the Lord. I just kept going back. Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord, you know that thing we were talking about? Lord, I'm not satisfied with the answer. Amen? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Usually that's not the answer we want to hear, but it's the answer the Lord gave. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So you go to the doctor. Doc, look, this is what happened. I was minding my business. I had just made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I was getting ready to sit down and eat it, and then this happened. And then they take blood tests and this test and that test. And then I'm going to send you over here to so-and-so to get some more tests. And you're like, wasn't that enough? No. I'm going to send you over here. I need you to take this piece of paper and get some more tests. And then they run some more tests and some more tests. And you're like, Lord, is this over yet? Not yet. And then after the test, they look at the results, and they're inconclusive, so they're going to try some different tests. And then you go through that battery test. And you got to go here and there, and then you got to look up, where is that? I never heard of that street before. And then you just go through it over and over, and you're like, Lord, I'm tired of this now. I could be doing something else. But no, you got to go through the process, and you got to use your faith, whether you feel like using it or not. Amen. All right, Lord, since I obviously have to go through this, I'm just going to believe that it's going to be all right and that I'm not going to get a bad result. Really? Did she say she was going to actually use her faith? She's been complaining all this time, but she's going to use her faith now. My. So the angel said, she said she's going to use her faith. Then he goes to report it. Now, the truth is you should have done that at the beginning. But no, that's not how we do things. We do them backwards. Yeah, we still do. We go through the first. Then we finally decide, okay, this isn't going to go away until I start using my faith. Let me stop goofing off and use my faith. Amen. We're like that. We're human. See, Paul went through that. He kept going to the Lord, 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 Lord. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. But Lord, 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 Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. See, I understand this because I've been the person, okay, that was your answer. Okay, that was nice, but I didn't like that answer. Can we try again? And as usual, no, I don't get a different answer. Therefore, Paul says, I'll take pleasure in all this stuff that comes. Why? Because when I'm weak, I'm strong spiritually. I'm not depending on me. I'm depending on him. We don't like that so much, but, you know, it's good for us. You know, castor oil was good for us, but we never did like the stuff, you know. We never did like that stuff. It never did taste good. So when I fully rely on my God, his power rests on me. I'm no longer leaning on weak flesh, for his spirit in me is great and powerful. Saints, many whine in their difficulties. You don't whine, do you, saints? But these difficulties contain within them the opportunity to increase our faith in God. There's an opportunity hidden behind the cloud. They bring, wrapped up in disguise, the challenge to believe in our God more than we did before. You got to stretch. You got to grow. It doesn't stop. Amen. By gifting, God has given to every man the measure of faith to believe. If you choose to exercise your measure, you are blessed. So, you do have enough faith to believe. If greater faith is needed, you must pray. If greater faith is needed, you must pray. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. That's right. If greater faith is needed, you're going to have to pray. And the Bible tells us that we need to believe we receive when we pray. Am I correct? So in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we encourage you to play the scriptures in your home, in your car, wherever you are, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's going into your spirit man, even if you're preoccupied with something else. Your spirit man is open. He's receiving the gospel. You keep playing it, he keeps receiving it. We tell you, when you read the Bible, read it out loud. You've heard Brother Marshall say this several times. When you read the word, read it out loud. Let your spirit man hear it coming out of your mouth. That's faith coming out of your mouth, going into your spirit, building you up on your most holy faith. Amen? Amen. That's the way it works. In John chapter 20, John chapter 20, beginning with verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Why are they written? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The scriptures are here to seed faith into us if we will receive it. It's a seed. It knows what to do. Once it's placed in good ground, you don't have to say, see, do you need me to go get the instructions? No, the instructions are in the seed. It does what it's supposed to do. And when you go to do something wrong, it'll pop right up and say, mm-mm, that's wrong. That's wrong. See, you've been putting it in, and so it does what it's supposed to do in you. You go to the left, and they'll go, mm-mm, wrong way. That's not it. And then after a while, if you're being patient, you can hear the scripture inside you. That's why we say play the scriptures. Why? Because you'll be about to do something, and all of a sudden you can hear the scripture. You'll be standing there not knowing what to do, not knowing which way to go, and suddenly you'll hear part of a scripture, and you'll know where to go. It still happens to me. I wake up in the morning, and before I'm actually fully awake, I hear part of a scripture. And I know that means to get on up, get out of the bed, and go find that scripture, because God is now talking, and it's time for me to listen and participate. It does not mean roll over and say, okay, God, I'll get that when I wake. No, that's wrong. That is sin. That is not what that means. That means, yes, sir, don't know where my shoes are. But then nonetheless, shoes or no shoes or one shoe, you go in somewhere and find your Bible. It's right over here. It would help, by the way, if you turn the light on. I know about that. It does help. It's safer that way if you turn the light off. And then you look the scripture up because he's talking. He's talking. He wants to talk to you. He wants to engage you in conversation. And he's saying something to you that's critical and vital. And you need to respond to him, not just go, that's a nice scripture, Lord. No, he wants active engagement with you so you converse with your Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. We just had this fast on fellowshipping with our Father. We're still in it, by the way. Keep fellowshipping. He's got more to say. He doesn't run out of words to people he loves. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written, why? For our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The answer's in the word. I keep telling people that. It's in there. You think that it's supposed to sound like this, but no, it's over there in Proverbs, and it tells you, see that thing? That's wrong. The answer is always in the word. You say, well, they didn't write in the word about whether or not to buy Cheerios or Quaker Oats. It doesn't say that in the word, but it does say something that tells you what to do. It's in there. You have to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, I need the scripture for this. I need the scripture. He said if any man lacked wisdom to ask, and he would give it, right? God can't lie. God can't lie. He'll give the answer. He knows you don't know the answer. Amen? He knows that you don't know. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. Amen. Men and brethren, Peter said, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Hear the word of the gospel and believe. Not just hear, hear and believe. Hear and believe. It does not matter how long you've been a Christian. There is plenty of room to grow in faith and love. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of his grace is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. An inheritance. Yes, that means Jesus left me something I'm supposed to receive that I'm going to like. I need to get it. No point in living down here all this time and not getting the blessings that are mine. I don't plan to leave one of them behind. I'm going to get them all. But it's the word of his grace that builds you up and sees to it you inherit what is actually yours. But you got to get in the word for that. So, saints, in the world, you will be torn down. Yet in the scriptures, you will be built up. Your faith will grow when you receive and believe the scriptures. Your faith will go stronger when you believe and receive the Holy Scriptures. Saints, we must receive, believe, embrace, trust, and make the Holy Scriptures our own. Our own. They have to become the air we breathe. How do you know when you really believe something? I can tell you. You act as though that is so and that there nothing else is the truth. That's when you know you really believe it. You'll accept no other alternative. We must learn to allow the Holy Word of God to go down deep in our spirit so that the fruit of God's blessings will bud and bring forth fruit. Saints, we are nourished up in the word of faith. This is why we take time to celebrate the testimonies of the saints. Our testimonies build us up. Our testimonies say, this is what God did for me. Well, our Father is no respect of persons. Since he has blessed in that manner, he is certainly well able to do it for us as well. Growing from faith to faith is essential to Christian survival. It's not a maybe. It's a must needs be. Saints of God, stand by faith in our God. The psalmist says to us, whenever I get to that scripture, in Psalm 27, Psalm 27, okay. Yeah. Verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on him. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Wait on the Lord. You know, there's an old hymn that we used to sing a long time ago, and it goes like this. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust his word, and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God. He provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules, he reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He'll watch over his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You see, saints, it's a decision and a choice that you make. It's a decision and a choice that you make. It's up to you. It's up to you, saints. But the only way to live as a Christian is to have faith in God. Amen? Rise to the benediction. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Pastor loves you. We'll see you on Wednesday. Happy fasting. Spend time fellowshipping with your Father. Amen. There's plenty of room to grow in faith. Amen. Amen.
How you loved me so much. Listen to your